I'm Makini Smith. After going through a divorce, my sister passing away, experiencing narcissistic abuse, and some significant health scares, I realized through sharing my story that I wasn't alone in my suffering. Suffering, subjective distress generated by the experience of being out of balance. In a deep dive to holistically heal mind, body, and soul is where I discovered peace, clarity, and connection. It is impossible to be truly wise without some real-life hardship, and we cannot develop post-traumatic wisdom without making it through, and most importantly, through it together. Social connection builds resilience, and resilience helps create post-traumatic wisdom, and that wisdom leads to hope. Hope for you and others witnessing and participating in your healing, and hope for your community. A healthy community is a healing community, and a healing community is full of hope because it has seen its own people weather, survive, and thrive. Cheryl Sutherland is a mindfulness speaker and founder of Please Notes, a for-purpose company of affirmation-filled products that inspire women to step into their own power by building confidence, clarity, and creativity. Cheryl has been able to work with different companies to spread the message of mindset growth and human potential. Some include Wonder Woman Tech, WeWork, Quicken Loans, FreshBooks, and the Durham Region School Board, and more. As a woman's empowerment expert, author, and entrepreneur, Cheryl Sutherland and Please Notes have been featured in InStyle Magazine, Huffington Post, Forbes, Fast Company, BlogTO, Morning LA, and much more. So please welcome to the show, Cheryl Sutherland.
Hi, so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for agreeing to come on and share your journey with us. I am always excited to speak to women that I already know, that I'm already following, that I'm already inspired by, because I feel like these conversations, we get to go a little bit deeper and I get to know you on a deeper level and strengthen that connection, but also that the listeners get to learn about all your greatness.
Yay. And honestly, I've been a fan of the podcast. And I was like, one day in the future, I'll get to the point where I get to be on the podcast. I want to walk in those stilettos and look at us manifesting. Here we are.
You manifested this. Yes. And I'm excited to even get into this topic because I feel for me, for the work that I do, I feel like sometimes when I'm having like regular conversations, it's like, yeah, people get it, but they don't quite get it. But because of what you do and like we both study, you know, similar stuff, so we get it. So I feel like this is going to be a great conversation for the listeners. So they better take notes, get your notepads out.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we get to, you know, where you are presently and all that greatness, I love to understand a little bit more about little Cheryl, because I feel like, you know, as kids, we have these vivid imaginations that run wild and, you know, we can envision all these things that we want to do with our life. And then whether it be our parents or culture or society, what have you, starts to limit our beliefs and box us in and tell us not to use our imagination and to be realistic when it's our imagination that helps us build our world. I love to get to know little Cheryl, and I would love to know, you know, who Cheryl wanted to be when she was a little girl, and how is that connected to who you are today?
I honestly, like, I love this question because now I'm just all like, wow, like a lot of that still rings true. So I was always one that was deeply sensitive. I'm not sensitive as in like reaction, but like I always like felt people at a very deep level. And so some of that turned out to be like to play out as like a people pleaser, because like I knew how to feel emotion, but then also project my emotion onto other people as well. And then I always felt like I'm responsible for other people's feelings and emotions. So now I feel like in my evolved self, it's just how do I do that, but from a space of responsible? And that really comes through in a lot of the products that I make, in a lot of like the speaking and the workshops that I do, really allowing people to understand for themselves, like, I'm not doing this for you, but I'm helping you choose into creating this feeling for yourself. So that's really delicious. And then who did I want to be when I was younger? I actually remember this moment. I used to be obsessed with The Baby Story and like TLC, like all of the things. And I used to watch like all the surgeries, all these different things. And I remember telling my dad, I'm like, I want to be a plastic surgeon when I grew up. And it was like, it just made sense. I help people feel great about themselves. B, there's this whole like transformation aspect. C, I get to make a lot of money on my own terms. And like, you know, like it's nothing's ever too scary. It's all like not an emergency C-section. It's like, no, you're scheduled for like 12 o'clock for me to fix your nose, right? Like easy stuff. And then, so of course, my dad being like, no, you're not smart enough for that. And of course, at that point, you know, you're like, oh, okay. And you just believe that as fact. But now I'm just really recognizing like there are certain things that I like and certain qualities that I value in my careers. And that still plays into the things that I'm doing on the day-to-day basis. I love helping people. Like I love doing it on like a specific time frame. And I also love making a lot of money. So like, look at God.
Yes. Okay. There's so many things that I want to unpack there with what you just said. So one, you mentioned that you've always been a sensitive person. Mm-hmm. Do you know if you're an HSP, highly sensitive person?
Definitely.
Okay.
I try to fight it and it's all like, no girl.
Listen, the reason I had to ask that is because it's like, so I am like, I think out of 26 or 27, if you take the test or whatever, I'm like a 25 or 26. Like I'm high up on there. So my sensitivities are extremely high. So for people who are listening, you know, HSPs were highly affected by the environment, by sounds, by light, by, you know, we feel energy, all these things. And we have like these special gifts. So when you talk about being sensitive and wanting to heal, I feel like anyone that I know that is an HSP, it's like our purpose is to heal. We're healers. That's mm-hmm. like our passion, what, you know, what we desire to do at our core. But I feel like because of being an HSP and the, I guess the gifts that come with that, it allows us to basically make a, I want to say stronger impact per se, because like the HSP gifts are like, you know, empathy, creativity. I think it's sensory intelligence and like depth of emotion and depth of processing and all these things. So it's like we see and feel things way deeper than the average person. Mm-hmm. So when you say that, I'm like, yeah, you sound like an HSP.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I feel like as like a highly sensitive person, being born into a family, and of course, I'm the last, into a family that's kind of the complete opposite. You know, like when, like both of my parents come from St. Vincent, shout out that, and first generation Canadian. But then with that, it's just like all you got was food, you know, like, oh, you have a place to sleep. Why are you complaining? Like, you know what I mean? You have stress. You're too young to have stress. It's like, no, girl, like life is hard, right? But I think within all of those things, like the gift has been not only me figuring out like how to hold my sensitivity in a way and value it and not dismiss myself, but then also in allowing that to be a safe space for myself, I've been able to transform the way that my siblings and the way that my mom and like the way that my family moves in the world by being this way shoulder and making it feel like, no, it's safe for me to ask for the things that I want. It's safe for me to like go against the grain or like not settle. And I think the more that we're willing to be open to those things and like make it safe for us to do those things, it just makes such a huge difference. I know for myself, one of the things that I've been able to grow through and I really value, I think one of the things that I've come here to learn is how to be more of myself on a deeper level and how to support myself and like ask for what I want. And so one of the fun things, and it feels like a tangent, but I'm like, oh, this is so juicy. But if you haven't had the opportunity to take a look at Human Design, that's something that I've been delving in last year. So within Human Design, it's like this lovely collaboration between like astrology and the Kabbalah and all of these bits. and it comes together. You get a whole body graph, but based on the reading, it's like, this is who you are. These are your gifts and talents. This is the way that you can flow through the world that's in flow, and then you get all the things you want versus you're not self-theme. And I feel like it's done such a great job of not only reaffirming all those things that I thought I knew about myself and like know that that is in fact true, and like just the way that I'm supposed to change the world, the way that I'm supposed to walk in the world. And then, I don't know, just like a lovely extra bit of security in saying, no, Cheryl, like you've already known this to be true, but this is kind of like the evidence, this is the proof point of this is how you get to walk through the world, and people are blessed to know you in this space too.
Yes. So, okay. What's your earliest childhood memory that defines who you are? Like the fact that you...
That defines who I am.
Yeah, because you know, and you've known that you've always been a sensitive person. And especially when your environment, whether it be your family or, you know, where you grew up in, isn't the same, right? So you know that you're different. And I know for myself, at first I thought something was wrong with me until I got the awareness and understanding. So for you, based on how you grew up, your family, your environment, like what's your earliest memory that you have connected to that?
I think just initially off the bat, something that popped up for me was my mom telling me about the first time she left me at daycare and how I cried when she was leaving. And then I guess I did not take a break. And the whole like 8 hours, 9 hours, I was still crying the whole time. You know how some kids will like cry for a bit and then they'll distract them with a snack or something, or like Price is Right is on. You're like, whoa. Apparently I cried the whole day. And I'm just like, wow, this, it really, at least for me, just speaks to like the depth of the feelings that I could get into and how I have to be very responsible with my feelings. I move through them very quickly and I can shift them. But if I get stuck in one for too long or I go too deep, and if it's not something that I want to be in, it could be really hard for me to get out of. And then I think another one, so would be my parents, love them, but they have been divorced since I was about 9 months old. And one of the biggest things was like my dad had a very rough childhood growing up. He had to grow up very early because his dad ended up passing away when he was young. And that was like a whole bunch of trauma attached to that. But I just wanted so much from my dad in regards to emotion and like feeling like I was wanted and taken care of and supported. And I know my dad did the best that he could, and I love him a bit. But the way that he learned to take care of us was by making sure that we were taking, like the world couldn't take advantage of us, you know, like making sure you're looking for all the blind spots or all the bad things that could happen before they happen to you. And I recognize and I realize that like, I want so much more from a man in my life than I will ever be able to get from this person. And I remember that at a very young age and being jealous of a lot of my friends' parents and just like the depth of love that they were able to give and willing to give to their children that I was just never going to be able to get from my parents. And now I'm okay with it because I'm like, you are who you are. I got you for a reason. But yeah, that was really heartbreaking for me at a young age.
Wow. Wow. I mean, I'm listening and I'm thinking about, you know how people say that, you know, your parents did the best they could with what they had, what they knew how to do then. Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's access to the internet. I don't know if it's the time that we're in now, but I feel like our generation is doing more work on ourselves to better not only ourselves, but the next generation than our parents did. And again, you know, no fault to them, but it's, I guess, based on survival. Like I think about our parents' generation and majority of them were all in survival mode and majority of their actions were based on, you know, the traumas that they've endured. And I'm trying to understand one of my parents because I thought I knew them. And now as I'm healing and I'm on my journey of understanding all these things, I'm like, oh, like you're so deeply hurt, you don't realize how much you're hurting other people. Actually affecting how I parent because I mean, I'm turning 44 this year. And in the
last... Are you serious? I mean, yeah, okay. I'm keep going.
Yes. So like the last 5 years, I have been on a severe healing journey, but it's also affected how I parent my kids because we're now able to have very transparent conversations where, for example, maybe one of my kids felt how you did right now about your father, because, you know, me now understanding who I was when I was going through my divorce or when I was healing from, you know, the loss of my sister, I was in a state of grief for long periods of time because I'm dealing with like grief after grief after grief. So they were getting that version of me. And now they're getting a more healed version of me where we have a deeper connection where I feel like they're open and they're sharing, you know, well, how come this happened then? And it's me explaining to them, well, I was in a state of survival. Like, you know what I mean? So being able to even have those conversations, but I'm thinking about what you said, what you're saying about your father, where, you know, that generation, if they were willing and able to do the deep work, how things could change.
Like even I remember like probably about 10 years ago talking to my mom and saying like, have you ever thought of going to family therapy? And like both my mom and my brother were like laughing at me. And I was just like, cool, like never say that again. But then just even this morning, I was thinking about like, how different would our lives be if they were willing to be that vulnerable? Because my mom does not do vulnerability at all. And like, you know, after learning more about some of the things that she went through, I was like, girl, you didn't tell me you almost got sold as a child? Like, these are some of those things that you're just like, how do I not know that? But again, parents are people and, you know, right to their own privacy and stuff and their own process. But it just continues to explain like a lot of the hardness and the toughness and the lack of vulnerability and like the unwillingness to like let other people help and like also this unwillingness to be safe. And I know for myself, that is something that is generational that I'm attempting to undo, is allowing myself to feel safe and secure, not only in relationships, but in work, in business, in all these different places. Because when you feel safe, when you feel secure, that's when you're able to stretch. That's when you're able to risk and go after big things and like not even big things, but go after the things that you want. But it really comes down to that feeling and like letting people help you. Like it's all like wrapped up in this weird bramble of things. And I'm excited to take it on. I'm excited to start unraveling it. And then also because I'm doing this work, you know, they are going to come along. My family's going to come along with me, whether they like it or not. It's inadvertent, you know, like SpaghettiOs. And then also with that, like, if and when I get the opportunity to make a person, then they're getting at least this version of me that still will all, there's always going to be more work, but at least I can have those conversations. And I just want to take a moment to applaud you for being able and willing to have those conversations with your kids. Because if I could, like, even now, like, if I talk to my mom from the space of 10-year-old Cheryl and be like, yeah, you said this, or you did this, and this is how I felt, it would all be defensible. Like, you deserve that. Or like, you were being an asshole or whatever. Versus like, oh, I didn't know that that affected you that way. This is what I was going through. Like, I didn't mean it like that. And I apologize. It's easy. It's simple. Yeah. It's clean. Right. Yeah. And I think that just even that will allow us to have that friendship, will allow us to have like that growth and transformation within like our lineage.
Yes, absolutely. Like, okay. So I want to dig deeper into allowing ourselves to be vulnerable as Black women, because even when you-
I mean, oh, let's think about it. Yeah.
But even what you just said about, you know, having those conversations, if you were to have them with your mom, where there's, you know, projection, all those things, again, that's their trauma response. That's them trying to defend, right? It's almost like they would rather die than admit being wrong or any of those things. And I don't know if it's actually, I'm going to take credit for doing the deep work. But I feel like because of the work that I've been doing, I can acknowledge where I'm wrong. I have no problem saying sorry. It's almost like I want to hear my behavior that hurt you, so I know how not to do that again and how we can improve our relationship going forward. Like, I know that one of my children, like, she used to have a lot of angry outbursts. She wouldn't communicate what directly is the problem. She would just be mad at the world. And now, as she's evolved, I've said to her, you can say whatever you want to me as long as you say it respectfully. Like, let's have a conversation. So we can have a calm conversation and she's expressing how she felt about things that happened when she was a child or when she was in high school or, you know, all these things. And we can have a conversation instead of me dismissing her feelings. And I also feel like it's partially related to the fact that I've had a series of toxic relationships where there's been a ton of gaslighting, where it's like, I never want anyone else to feel that. So it's, I'm not going to invalidate your feelings. That is how you feel. That is how I made you feel. I now know how not to do that again, or, you know, what triggers you. Like, because everyone's different, right? You know, what I could say something to you and you completely not be offended, but I could say something to someone else and like they're in their feelings for the next few months based on their own experiences, their own history, their own trauma, because, you know, we listen. Well, actually we hear with our ears, but we listen with our emotions.
Say it again, sis.
Okay, so share with us how your journey of vulnerability has been, let's say, over the last year.
Girl, okay, well, I'm glad there's no video because I'm not gonna cry. But honestly, like, okay, so I think to preface it, I come from this standpoint and I truly believe that we're here to learn, grow, and evolve and really experience all facets of the human experience, right? And with that, I've been able to play a lot with joy and play and expansion and excitement. And I haven't really gotten into fear, grief, frustration, anger. Last year was a lot of grief. And last year, I was able to experience what the depth of grief could be for me, where it's like, I think I'll feel safer or I think I'll feel better if I was a deflated balloon underneath the ground, right? Like, I'm lying in bed and I'm like, there has to be a way I could get closer or underneath the earth because, like, I just don't have anything left in me. And for myself, and I guess just to set the context, so earlier this year, the other person in my family that I would consider to be highly sensitive, because, you know, that's just how it happens, that I've had like the closest connection to, like, I would definitely say that we're soulmates, ended up transitioning unexpectedly. And he was only 18, my nephew. And I've had the opportunity to play with him and see him grow and just like be like a mother figure to him. And at the same time, he was also like a son to myself. And it was completely unexpected. We still don't know what the circumstances are or what happened. And like, none of that really matters at the end of the day. But, you know, like, if you're here to be here for a particular reason or to learn something or to teach something, and then you're gone, well, like, that's what you signed up for, right? So I feel like there's definitely been a lot of solace in that. However, I think the difficulty is like, why would God give me something that like I would love so much and then just take it away? And I know why, because a lot of it has to do with allowing myself to feel this emotion, because I really enjoy experiencing the whole range of emotions and like understanding it and connecting with it and relating with it. And I think it is because, again, we like to feel the things. So the interesting thing is, I like to consider myself a terribly private person when it comes to being vulnerable. I can share a lot of things. And then, you know, I'm usually very upbeat, very happy. Again, relating to being that people pleaser, like, how do I take care of people and like show them this version of me? So it's like entertaining. And then this year, I've had the opportunity to share with people the opposite and like the depth of vulnerability. And it still is very uncomfortable for me. However, the amount of women that have reached out to me and being like, you know, as a Black woman, like, thank you for sharing this and thank you for allowing this to be seen and like, and also to share your struggle. Because even when my dad passed away, so my dad transitioned when I was like 22, that was different. And the way I dealt with it is different versus this. And so I say all that to say that when we are allowing ourselves to be vulnerable and to be in this space, it allows other people to take care of us too. And that's something that I have to practice, or I get to practice. I'm not comfortable asking for help. I'm not comfortable letting people know, like, I have to cancel this appointment because, like, mentally, it's just not a good day for me. That's very uncomfortable for me, because I've been taught that, you know, a lot of my value is based on results and based on output, or even, you know, being reliable, like Cheryl's always reliable. Well, what happens if I'm not? And then giving myself the space to feel these things and to let my guard down and to just not respond to people and like let them deal with it on their own.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm see, we cry a lot on this show. We laugh a lot on this
good.
Show.
It's letting me know.
I am so sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
I'm like holding in my tears, so I'm trying to talk without choking. it's hard when you lose someone close to you. Here's what I've learned about grief. The closer you are to that person, the more it hurts when you're dealing with the grief. And not like you even said, the way that you dealt with your father transitioning was different than your nephew. I said my sister transitioning was different than my grandmother. It's not that we didn't love them, but the depth of our connection. So that grief is really a sign of your love for them. You know, how much you missed them, how much you appreciated them. And I am one of those people who I'm going to say thank you for your transparency, because I feel like we've been taught as Black women to be strong. We've been taught to hold it together. We've been taught to take care of other people. We've been taught all, you know, how we have to make things look. And I am grateful when I connect with other people who understand that there's so much that we have to unlearn and relearn, especially in order for us to heal. There is so much that has been ingrained in us unintentionally from the traumas of our parents and grandparents and our ancestors. But we are now doing that hard work. And that's why it's important for us to be vulnerable. It's important for us to show our emotions, because our emotions are real and we've had to hide them for so long, but we are human. Like, you know, you're running a business and it's hard to, you know, to say to the outside world, I need to cancel this appointment because my mental health is not good today, but it's real. It's a real freaking thing. Like, it's hard because we've been told not to do that. We've been told we have to show up. You know, we've made this commitment. We have to do all of these things. We don't have to do shit. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that was hard for me to learn as an entrepreneur. And I've been self-employed since 2009. And during that time, I've lost my sister. I've lost my grandmother. I went through a divorce. I've like had two very public, embarrassing breakups with, you know, toxic people. Like, a lot has happened, and I felt like I still had to show up. Mm. And it's only been in these last 5 years where I'm like, I don't have to do anything. My mental health, it's okay to take care of Cheryl. It's okay to honor Cheryl's feelings. It's okay for Cheryl to not be good today, because you're a human being. Those open conversations that I had with my daughter the other day, she is 22 years old, and she's like, I think I've only seen you cry twice in my life, Mom. And I'm like, truth is, I cry every day, every single day. I said, sometimes you guys are here and I just got to go to the bathroom and cry for a moment and come back. Like, I try to protect them from those things. And when they find out that, oh, wait, Mom's human, they even interact with me differently now. They're like, oh, Mom has feelings. You know, we try to hide our feelings. We try to hide our hurt. And then people deal with us like we're robots, because they think that this perception of us that they have is this super strong human being. We can be strong and still be soft at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, I know as HSPs, we are highly emotional. I cry for everything. I cry for commercials. I cry for puppies. I cry if I see a baby. I cry. You know what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a crier. I will also knock your teeth out if you come at me the wrong way.
So, hey, yo.
I'm like, you're human. Like,
oh my God. You know, Alexa, play Knock If You Bust. Alexa, stop. Alexa, stop. That was supposed to be a joke, but that worked out really well. Oh my gosh.
Hilarious. We needed the laugh. We needed it.
We honestly, it's nice to break it up, right? but like, yeah. There's something you said that is just so juicy. And I want to touch on this really quickly because like, it's so good. A lot of like being able to show your emotions, like crying in front of your kids. I remember my brother telling me the only time he saw my mom cry was like before she went into surgery for cancer. And I was like, oh, mom cries. But like, I feel like this kind of really teaches us how to deal with our own emotions. If we're able to see our parents deal with a range of emotions, like it's okay for me to cry in the bathroom. Like this morning, I was like so overwhelmed with things. I'm like, no, I'm going to go work out. I'm going to be on this treadmill so I'll feel better. I'm on the treadmill crying. I was like, this is not working the way it's supposed to. However, you know, like we have to just keep doing what we need to do. But I love how you're actually embodying these feelings and this level of humanity to really showcase for your kids. Cause then, I mean, honestly, like the majority of people learn by seeing. So the more that we're able to actually showcase that, then we could say like, oh, this is safe, or like, oh, let me play with this, and then expand in that way too.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Like I strongly believe some things are taught and some things are caught. So it's like how many things I try to ingrain in my kids by teaching them. A lot of what they learn is by watching me. And I'll hear things that my eldest daughter says to other people or things she says about me to other people. And I'm like, oh, she's been paying attention. Okay.
I love that. That's great. for the most part. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny because even like, of course, in Caribbean households, when somebody dies, it's all like, oh, you know, Johnny, he dead. You know what I mean? Versus like being able to experience that. So like with last year, there were 7 people in a 6-month period that passed away in our family. And it was just like, I was just with Auntie like 3 weeks ago. Like, what do you mean she just died? Like, make it make sense. And so just being able to just show up in all these different ways, but then also the level of connection that certain family members were open to getting into because we were all in this space of like pain and hurt and frustration and regret. And I hate to say it, but guilt oftentimes of like, what are the things I should have done? Or, you know, if this person had done something different, then this person would still be, you know what I mean? Like there's just so many different layers and just being okay with experiencing all of that. And like, even going and seeing a therapist or having somebody to talk to that you feel like is not going to judge you is so important. And like the more, again, that we allow ourselves to get that sort of help, get that sort of support instead of just trying to, you know, rub Vicks or put some Alkalotto on, like it's going to make such a big difference for the next generation and the generation after that.
Absolutely. I agree with you 1,000%. You know, I feel like, culturally, as a community, there's a lot of things in the Black community, like doesn't matter what part of the world we're from, Africa, the West, East, like wherever, there's a lot of things within the Black community that have been quote unquote considered normal, but it's actually toxic. And as I've gone on this healing journey and figured out the things that were actually unhealthy and the things that I needed to unlearn and relearn, it's like going from, okay, well, you know, I grew up in the church, religiously going to church twice a week. And yeah, I got to pray about it. Yeah, I got to do this. I'm like, oh, wait, no, I need therapy. Oh, okay. Like, I am going to be reading these self-help books. I'm going to be listening to these, you know, healing podcasts. I am going to be doing all the things. And I think if I was closed off to the idea, or if I was... Here's the thing. I feel like a lot of us, because of our beliefs, whether it be, you know, from our parents or our religions or what have you, we hold on to these things, but we also have to be open to the possibility that there's another truth. Mm-hmm. So I think my openness, yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe in prayer. But yes, I believe in going to therapy every week. Yes, I believe in going to see my chiropractor. Yes, I like all these things to release the emotions within my body. Because when we're not, and we are, I guess this is where I talk about like me being a mindset coach. It's like people who are set in their way of thinking and not open to other perspectives and other possibilities. It's like, if I said to you right now, I don't know, you know, that this piece of paper has stuff written on it all the way down or whatever, like on the flip side, the other side is blank. So the side I see doesn't have what you see, but it's so I feel like when it comes to belief and a lot of the things that we hold on to, we need to be open to the possibility that there is a deeper truth or another truth.
Yeah, I agree. And I think perception is just so fun to play with, because literally, and I'm like a huge sci-fi person. I've been since I was a baby. Like, it's all like, oh my God, alternate realities, right? So like, yeah, because of the way that I grew up, and like, actually, this is something I teach in my DEI workshop, but there's about 25 different lenses of life, you know, and then it all depends on, again, where you grew up, how you grew up, religion, you know, trauma, all these different things, right? And so you and I could be in the same room, same experience, but I receive something differently than the way that you receive something, right? Yeah. Not good, bad, right or wrong. It's just what it is. So for me, I'm like, I used to love playing with different things. Like, oh, well, what if I was vegan for a week? Somebody was like, why would you want to do that to yourself? I'm like, just experience it. Or just like when you're going around places, like what if I was blind? Like, how would I navigate this? If I was disabled, how would I navigate this? Like, I wouldn't be able to get into most of these restaurants in downtown. I wouldn't be able to go to the bathroom because all the bathrooms are downstairs. So if I was meeting up with somebody for lunch, then I would have to do all this research beforehand to suggest a safe space. Like all of these different things people just don't think of because they haven't had the opportunity to play with that perspective. Even people that are in like, not part of like the LGBTQ community, and they'll come for them. I'm like, but why would you do that? Like, I'm so surprised that the way that somebody else lives their lives infuriates you so much. Like, why are you giving them that power? Like, yeah, they have tampons in the men's bathroom now. Like, cool option. Like, yeah. I don't like, why is this infuriating you? Like, I just, riddle me this, right? I don't care. As long as everybody is like loving on each other and taking care of themselves and being good people. That's all I really care about, right? Yeah. So this level of being able to dip into and understand and acknowledge and respect other people's perspectives is just so important. But then also there's so much learning and so much fun and so much play in those spaces too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So having been someone who religiously went to church, and I would actually get offended when someone called me a church girl, because in my mind, the quote unquote church girls were ignorant to other perspectives and other beliefs. And I connect with that. I felt like, yes, I go to church. Yes, I believe in God. Yes, we may have some of the same beliefs, but I am open to the possibility. There is an alternate or other truths. And I also understood, based on experiencing different religions and different churches, that there's different perspectives of the exact same words. Mm-hmm. So I took offense to being called quote unquote church girl. Don't call me that. I will not. Don't do that. like my ex-husband was Muslim. Like, you know, understanding different things helps open up your mind, you know, traveling to different world, immersing yourself in different cultures. Like you said, you trying, you know, being vegan for a week. My father's been a vegan my entire life. I had some health issues. I tried being vegan for a couple of years, and then I just got hangry. And it's like, no offense. Like, even when I was vegan, it's like, no offense to anyone who chooses to eat meat. That's what choose to eat. That's what works for your body. That's what works for your, like, you know what I mean? It's like, even when you think about different parts of the world, it may not be possible in different parts of the world for some people for survival to be vegan. Like, it's just, people can be very close-minded about their own views because of their own environment. It's like, going to the US versus going to anywhere else in the world. Like, Americans, and I love you guys, and I know that you guys are 50% of my listeners. Like, in America, it's based on my interactions, they believe like everything is how they have it there. Like,
yeah.
Even the thought, I went into a pharmacy and I was explained that we had drove the car from Canada to Atlanta. And this guy was like baffled that you could do that. And I was like, okay.
What?
Okay.
I love America. America's so fun. Like, I love you and I love your money. No, I love you. I love you. Oh my God. I have this funny joke. When I lived in America for like 4 years. And when I was first there, California, tell people like, yeah, no, I'm from Canada. They're like, there are black people in Canada? Like, are you sure you're from Canada? I was like, bro, what? From both our Caucasian cuties and our chocolate friends, our chocolate drop. So I was like, wait a second. First of all, Underground Railroad, like, where did your people escape to? And like, do you not know about like planes, trains, automobiles? Like, riddle me. You know what I mean? But then it's just like, okay, that's where people get in trouble. And I love America. Again, also like, I kind of feel bad for them because all their media is really America-centric. So they don't have as much opportunity to steep in other people's cultures or perspectives, et cetera, et cetera. That's why you find these people will love them again, will go to another country. They'll go to Spain and be all like, why is everybody speaking Spanish? Like, the sand is too hot on the beach. Like, why is everybody sleeping at this time? And it's just like, because this is not America, friends. You know, it's not a theme park, sir. Yeah. Anyway. Love y'all. And come and visit Canada. We've got poutine and cold weather. Yes.
Like all of that. Like, pre-pandemic, I used to travel like every 3 weeks. And there were parts of the world where, so I put a tag on my bag with the Canadian flag. And there were parts of the world that they strongly disliked Americans. So I put like a Canadian flag pin on my jacket to be like, yeah, I'm not. No offense.
I don't associate. Thanks.
I got family, friends, coworkers, lots of people that I love there. But there are some people there that are not open to different perspectives. That's just what we're trying to make.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Before I
love you. God bless the USA and all that.
Before we get into trouble.
Right. As America's hat, we got to check ourselves.
Let the people know where they can stay connected with you, where they can learn more from you and about you before we go to the final segment.
Yes, of course. So there's a couple different ways that we can play together. I have my online courses. I'm launching a new subscription service called Affirmations in Abundance that will help you in your grading, like journaling process and making that a habit. And of course, I've got my line of affirmation filled goods, which includes guided journals, affirmation cards, all these little bits to help you become your favorite version of you. And you can just visit pleasenotes.com in order to see all that. So it's please as in please and thank you, notes as in notesoflove.com. I'm also on the Instagrammies. It's pleasenotesgoods.com. I know a lot of S's, but that's where you can find me.
Perfect. So they don't get it confused. I will have the direct links in the detailed section below the episode. So they'll just click and connect with you directly. Okay. So for the final segment of the show, it's kind of like a rapid fire. You can answer like one word, one sentence, but I also don't like to put people into a box because I get claustrophobic. So if you feel the need to expand, you're more than welcome to do so.
Ah, we're in IKEA. Ah.
Yeah. All right. Let's start with name one of the most worthwhile investments that you've ever made. And that could be of money, time, energy.
In myself.
Love it. Name a book that has changed or greatly impacted your life.
Think and Grow Rich.
Love it. When you feel overwhelmed, uninspired, and unfocused, what do you do?
Take a shower.
Good one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's the best advice you've ever received?
It's actually a quote from the Bible, and I'm not a Bible girl. So I'm like, wait, what? Why is it so good? But it's Exodus, I want to say 13:13. And I could be saying this wrong, so I'm going to Google this. yeah, it's like showing up in my search history, so it must be this. Exodus 14:14, and it's, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's leaning into, like, I don't have to be the one that does everything all the time. I could just, like, just say what you want and, like, let the universe provide for you.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Okay. When and where are you the happiest?
On stage.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give your future self?
My future self? That bitch knows everything. No. The advice I would give my future self would be to relish what you've created, bitch, because, like, look at all this. So relish that. You did a good job. I'm gonna pat you on your back. And she'd be like, okay.
love it. Okay. Last but not least, what do you wish women would do more of?
Okay, so the first thing, how is this, what is the rating of this podcast?
In terms of global rankings?
No, I'm like thinking G, R, L-M-N-O-P.
Well, we're not rated explicit, but every now and again, we say a little bad word here and there.
Yeah. So, like, the first thing that popped in my head was masturbate, to be honest, because, like, sometimes all you need is, like, water and orgasm, and then you could go about your day and take on the world. So that's...
Okay.
Plus, when you know your body, right? Like, you can set better expectations for your partner so that he can, you know, or they can help you also be happy, because your happiness is important to them.
Love yourself first, so you know, set your expectations of how to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for coming on and sharing your vulnerability with us, your energy, your gems. It's about damn time. You know, we manifested this.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. And thank you for creating such a delicious space for people to come and be vulnerable and ask things and, you know, explore different parts of themselves. Because I feel like the more safe spaces that we have to do these sort of things, the better the world is going to be. But then also the level of quality and dedication that you have to this sort of work, it's just like, it's delicious. So thank you so much for this.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. And to all you healers out there, until next time, subscribe on all platforms. Don't forget to rate the show and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We want to hear how Cheryl's story resonated with you. We want to hear where your aha moments are, what your notes are, what you wrote down on your journal.
Yeah.
Thank each and every one of you that continues to listen each week to help the show rank globally the top 1.5% of most popular podcasts. And feel free to screenshot this week's episode. You can tag Cheryl at Please Knows Goods, and you can tag myself at The Real McKinney Smith. A healthy community is a healing community, and a healing community is full of hope because it has seen its own people weather, survive, and thrive. So let's continue to heal.